Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Another free agency pod. It's been a busy couple of weeks. I want to thank all of you loyal listeners for joining us for every one of our shows. I know you've listened to every one. 12 bonus podcasts plus the regularly scheduled ones. You're going to hear from some guests.
12 and a half.
12 and a half? What was the...
12 and a quarter, I guess.
You remember the one we just did that I started over? Yes, this is take
Adam,
two.
You have to hit the record button. This is not a live
show.
Hey,
the answer to your first question is Curtis Samuel.
Thanks. Which free agent wide receiver has moved up the most in the rankings? That's where we're going to start. Everybody, I already did this one. Everybody said Curtis Samuel was basically the only wide receiver free agent who has moved up in the rankings, which is something. Except Chris also gave a little love to Corey Davis. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yeah. I know it's the Jets, and you know we don't think anything good happens with the Jets, but they lost Adam Gase. That's all I need to see. You know, look at history.
But Corey Davis didn't lose Adam Gase. It's players who lose Adam Gase are better.
Right. But Sam Darnold or whomever is the starting quarterback did. So it's gonna spread out to everyone.
Okay.
Draft Le'Veon Bell this year, folks.
Dave, in that statement though, that basically the free agent wide receivers, they either like Allen Robinson and Godwin, they stayed put, but the changes weren't great for these guys. Fuller to the Dolphins, Galladay to the Giants, Samuel to Washington. That was the best one. Corey Davis to the Jets. What am I forgetting here? Nelson Aguilar to the Patriots. Just wasn't great for these guys.
Sure. John Brown to the Raiders. Yeah. I mean, there's minimal guys. Emmanuel Sanders to the Bills. But
that actually is interesting. Why didn't John Brown move up?
Brown didn't move up, but you asked which free agent
player moved up the most,
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my bad. Okay, so John Brown moved up a little bit. All right, question
number
two. I mean,
he's draftable. There's no question about it.
Which free agent wide receiver has moved down the most in the rankings? Oh, yeah, let's go Dave, Chris, Jamie.
I don't know if Will Fuller technically moved down more than Kenny Galladay, and I'm really only thinking about the big guys. I mean, Nelson Aguilar was a flop going to New England, especially once all the tight ends that were free agents went to New England as well. I will say Aguilar is the one who I wasn't really high on to begin with. And once he went to New England with Cam, a quarterback, don't really want him.
Chris?
I think it's like Juju didn't move down because he stayed in the same spot and my expectations didn't change as a result of that. But he certainly lost the most value in my eyes from a potential standpoint. If he had gone somewhere where he could have been, you know, either the number one or a 1A wide receiver, I think, you know, that would have been really good for him. And, you know, I guess technically he'll probably be the 1B in Pittsburgh the way he was last season. But I have very little faith in Ben Roethlisberger at this point. I think, you know, hopefully they try to rework their offense, but I definitely need to see it before I believe in it. And I currently have Juju outside of my top 36.
Okay. Jamie, which wide receiver, free agent wide receiver moved down the most?
Probably Galladay, just because he was a top 20, inside top 20 for me. And he'll be outside the top 24. Not by much, but you know, I'm curious to see how he's going to do with Daniel Jones, but I'm not overly excited about it.
What? Why? I can't imagine why. Okay, let's go over to running backs. Chris, Jamie, Dave, which free agent running back has moved up the most in the rankings? Chris?
Sorry, my cat stepped on the mute button. This is, you're getting a sense of what every night of the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast is like. Chris Carson, like Juju Smith-Schuster, didn't, obviously his value didn't change, you know, because he's staying in the same place. But one, I think that's going to be going back to Seattle is going to be a better situation for him in 2021 than it was last season, because they are probably going to recommit to the run and get back to, you know, 2018, 2019 when he was an 18 carry per game guy. I don't think he's going to be that again, but my initial run of projections moved him up to number 12 at running back.
Yeah. We talked about that on Fantasy Football Today in 5, which we already recorded. All right, so Chris Carson for you, up to number 12. Jamie, which running back has moved up the most in the rankings? Free agent.
Mark Ingram. Can't be more excited about him. It's Carson. I mean, you know, the fact that he stayed where he is, it's a great situation for him. I wouldn't have been upset if he went to, you know, a situation that would have been on par. Not that there were many, but, you know, the Falcons is one, for example. Arizona would have been one. But, you know, staying in a spot where you know they're going to run the ball, they improved the offensive line so far. They still have Russell Wilson as of now. So hopefully things are just as good, if not better, for Chris Carson.
And Dave?
And no Carlos Hyde, too.
Yeah, no Carlos Hyde. He averaged 6.5 carries per game. It was 8 games where both Hyde and Carson were healthy at the same time. And did not leave with injury, 6.5 carries per game. It was kind of interesting. Some games he had 2 carries, some games he had 15 carries. Weird. But 6.5 is what it averaged out to. Dave, which running back has moved up the most free agent in your rankings, free agent running back?
I think Carson's the answer. And even though Rashad Penny's still there, I think everybody's just going to give the benefit of the doubt to Carson, and it's great that he's still there. But I think Aaron Jones deserves a little bit of love, too. The fact that he stayed in Green Bay, didn't go to the Jets and or the Dolphins, I think both of those spots could have been a little bit bad for him compared to Green Bay. No Jamal Williams. I think that's a good thing. I think that could especially help his receiving numbers. We've talked about that in the last week and a half. I think that he's also been a winner as far as running backs go in free agency. And now, whereas before he might not have been a surefire first round pick, now he is.
I agree with that.
Okay, so just quick pause here on the running backs. I'll ask you which free agent running back fell the most in the rankings, but was there any scenario where these wide receivers could have gone somewhere and gained value?
Yeah, I think if Juju had signed, like I said, if Juju had been, you know, a number one wide receiver, if he had gone to the Giants, I think he would have gained value, even though I think, you know, Pittsburgh's a better offense than New York's, but you know, he'll have a lot more competition for targets now. And I don't see much reason to think that his role is going to be much different than it was last season. And his role last season was often run 4 yards, stop, turn around, and face Ben.
Oh, it'll definitely be different. You know, we talked about this. I'm glad we're having this conversation.
It'd definitely be different, but how much?
I think quite different. Well, Dave, let's go over the slot percentage from Juju Smith-Schuster. That's something to keep an eye on, because his first 3 seasons, he was what, about 60%? And last season, he was almost 100% in the slot. So yeah, hopefully
it's gone up every year of his career.
That might not change, and that's concerning. I'd like for him to be outside a little bit more, but this is a guy who has 2 97-yard touchdown catches in his career, and I think they used everyone wrong, and I think they know that. That's why they changed offensive coordinators, and they stunk last year offensively. I mean, even though they scored a lot of points, they just it was a gimmicky garbage offense. They're not going to do that again. I think his role has to everybody's role has to change.
Well, I mean, yeah, look, he didn't live up to expectations last year by far, but it's really the middle number, because you'll take 97 and 9 from anybody.
Yeah.
If you say that before the season, and he's got that potential. He's got the potential to be 80 plus receptions. He's got the potential to be 7 plus touchdowns. If he can get over 1,000 yards, he's going to probably shatter what the expectations are for this season, because everybody is downgrading him. And so you're going to get him at a better price, and he's still so young and still has so much upside. And look, Roethlisberger was terrible last year. There's no doubt about it. But this defense took a big hit. He may have to throw the ball more, like we saw in that playoff loss against Cleveland. And that's not a benefit to him or the offense, but it's a benefit to those receivers, because those targets were through the roof. And so if we're talking about what the potential volume could be for all of these guys, that's a nice thing to step into. Their run game right now looks like a joke. I like Benny Snell's upside, but I don't know if he's going to ever be good. I don't know what Anthony McFarlane's going to be. I don't know what they're going to do in the draft. That's still a big piece of this, obviously, but we don't know what this is going to look like, the final piece of the puzzle. And for whatever Roethlisberger is right now, he stepped into a situation with no offseason, coming off an elbow injury that was, in some mind, some people's minds, career-threatening. Maybe the full scope of playing through the season and hopefully getting a little bit more work in the offseason, and maybe that arm gets a little bit stronger. Maybe he can get another 10% back of what he had, or maybe 15% back, or who knows what. So I don't think Juju's a guy that you're looking at and saying, well, this is encouraging, but that drives down the price, and then you get him at a better price, and then maybe he's better.
All right, Jamie, Dave, Heath, which free agent running back has moved down the most in the rankings?
Stupid Kenyon Drake.
Crushed everyone. All right, Kenyon Drake for Jamie, Dave.
He's the anchor of the group. I mean, it doesn't even come close, because people weren't really interested in Philip Lindsay or Mark Ingram. Now those guys are teammates. It's Drake.
The only thing I hate more than John Gruden right now is Oral Roberts.
You know, I can give you another one, although it could change, is James Conner. He doesn't even have a team yet.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, obviously, it's going to change. Someone's going to sign him, but do you really think he's going to land in a role at this point where he'll be a feature back?
Chris, which free agent running back fell the most?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if any of the actual free agents fell. I think we've seen, you know, I've moved Miles Gaskin, James Robinson, and Josh Jacobs, obviously, down because of who signed there. I don't think, you know, Carlos Hyde and Malcolm
Robinson have, down.
I did. Yeah, I think. I mean, it's mostly just James Robinson's not going to get 90% of the snaps.
Yeah, but I mean, you had to know that going in.
Right. But when I was projecting him, I wasn't expecting, like, I don't think Hyde's going to have a huge role, but I think he can probably get to 90 carries.
I love
that's
Carlos
a really
Hyde
small.
There.
That's a really small role. 90 carries. Like, we're not going to care about Carlos.
I don't
Hyde,
think you guys are actually saying different things personally. I just feel like Jamie anticipated this, and Chris didn't make the adjustment until it happened.
Right. I'm basically ranking based on what we know at the moment. And, what we knew then was James Robinson didn't have obvious competition. Now he has someone who can take 20% of the carries away. And that's a lot more than there was last year.
So where is he, by the way, in your rankings?
He's 15 still. He's still fairly high.
Jamie? James Robinson?
I think I moved him like 12 or 13, but he was like 16, 15, 16 before this.
Oh, so you were anticipating something worse.
I was
than
anticipating
Carlos Hyde.
Somebody good going there, not a 30-year-old Carlos Hyde.
Right.
There's still a chance that somebody good could.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But if this is the best they do, thank you.
Right. Okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So last question here. Who's the best sleeper right now? Breshad Perriman, Tyrell Williams of the Lions. I'm going with guys whose teams. Who are you? Okay, you'll see. Mike Williams of the Chargers lost Hunter Henry.
Way to start with the big names.
They're all sleepers. Jalen Reagor of the Eagles. Breshad Perriman, Tyrell Williams, Mike
Reagor,
Williams.
Reagor, it's not even close.
I don't know about that. It's not even close.
He'll be the first one drafted of this group. I don't even know if Tyrell Williams and Breshad Perriman will get drafted.
Right. I think it's between Mike Williams and Jalen Reagor. I don't know. It's not even close.
I mean, Mike Williams has proven he's a good player.
You're talking about, though, a first-round pick on a team that has nothing around him besides a tight end, and a guy in Mike Williams who has at least, you know, an all-pro guy on his side.
Yes, but he has a quarter. I mean, how many more yards is Justin Herbert going to throw for than Jalen Hurts?
But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to Mike Williams. You know, we saw those young receivers start to step up.
Yeah. All right.
And Jared Cook, let's not forget.
Jared Cook, yeah.
He'll take some touchdowns.
All right, so is everybody saying Reagor?
No, I'm going with Williams.
Bam!
Which Williams? There's two.
Mike Williams. Sorry, not Tyrell. Maybe if Heath was on the show, like Adam keeps calling me, he would say Tyrell, but I will not.
Pipe down, Scott White. Jamie, I need to get your thoughts on something after I promote this. It is literally madness time in the sports world. The NCAA tournament is in full swing. But you're diehard sports fans, which means you want to stay in the know with all the sports. That's where CBS Sports HQ is your streaming answer. Just think about what's on tap this week alone. You've got MLB spring training. You've got the NBA trade deadline, UFC 260, NFL free agency fallout, NFL draft coverage, golf picks, the U.S. men's national team. Oh, and obviously March Madness. We could go on, but you get it. Sports never sleeps. Neither does CBS Sports HQ. It's available on your computer, your phone via the CBS Sports app, your connected TV. I watch it. So whenever I'm doing chores, just pop on CBS Sports HQ. And that's a lot, by the way. And if you live and breathe sports, I'd encourage you to watch it as well, CBS Sports HQ. All right, Jamie, so you got me at my lowest moment, my raw moment where the stupid Doug Peterson eliminated the Giants from the playoffs. And I came on and screamed about it. So this is fresh off Oral Roberts upsetting the University of Florida. How are you doing, Jamie?
Oh, get the bleep button ready.
No, he's not. Like me.
Man, they struggled down the stretch. They had a 9-point lead and they blew it. I mean, give Oral Roberts credit. They took down a 2 seed and then they beat Florida.
Can we blame Doug Peterson for this? Is there any way? Is there any connection?
Doug Peterson had a great moment, great coaching moment in the fourth quarter there.
Why did they trap? They had that one possession where they trapped at half court and they left the guy wide open for three.
They've been doing that all season.
Yeah,
they like to play 1-3-1.
Okay. All right. Well,
you shouldn't do that against a good 3-point shooting team, though.
Well, this has been a really fun March. I'm not going to say the word that begins with a T.
The T word.
I don't know what I say.
You mean tournament?
What do I say?
Tournament.
Tournament. All right.
Tournament.
It's been really fun. I like Illinois, obviously, bracket buster, but it's been wild. Trivia question. Name the player who just signed with the team that his father played for. NFL free agent signed with the team that his father played for.
Breshad Perriman.
Correct. Good job. Twitter polls. All right. I asked you on Twitter. Half PPR, who are you taking first, Kenny Golladay or Chris Carson? What's your answer, guys? Golladay or Carson? Half PPR.
Carson.
Yeah, Carson.
Position scarcity.
Correct. Carson, 55%. Golladay, 45%. I also asked, will Kenny Golladay be a top 20 PPR wide receiver this season? What's your answer?
No.
I don't have a rank that way, no.
Nope.
Well, everybody disagrees with you, or 60% of the people disagreed with you. They have him top 20. From the comments I was seeing, it seems like people are okay with this move. And... willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and feel like they're going to get kind of a steal with Kenny Golladay. I think people are going to be disappointed here.
I think I feel like the Stephon Diggs season is going to like get in people's heads. And like, if we end up to a point where like Kenny Golladay is being drafted higher this year than Stephon Diggs was last season, that would be a problem.
Well, what do you think that was, about 50, 55?
Something like that. Yeah.
You don't think he should be a top 50 pick?
I think it's more about where he's getting drafted at wide receiver, because I think there are going to be more running backs drafted early this year, so it's going to be hard to make that comparison.
Okay, let me see if I can pull up where... This is a good conversation. Let's see if I can find out where Stephon Diggs went. I remember I was kind of hands-off on
his ADP was 65.02 at NFBC last year, NFC.
I would definitely take Golladay 60.
I would take Golladay that late, yes, but...
He won't make it that far.
No. What did you think about it, Jamie? Dave and I talked for 15 minutes about it earlier today.
Oh, I mean, look, first he's got to stay healthy. That's a big part of it. You know, injuries are you know, something you got to, I don't know, expect with him, or just sort of build into what his, you know, track record is a little bit. But I mean, Matthew Stafford was a guy that threw him open, that put him in spots, you know, to, you know, go make a play. I don't know if Daniel Jones is at that point yet in his career, or is this going to be the type of guy that helps him? If Saquon's healthy, this is, you know, still an offense going to run through him. So, you know, the Giants needed this. This was a good signing on their part. You know, this is nothing about what the Giants did. They had to go get a number one. He profiles that way. You know, hopefully he delivers on that. But I just think for what he means to fantasy, this is a downgrade. You know, so I don't know if he's going to get double-digit touchdowns. I don't know if he's going to go, you know, north of 1,100 yards. He'll be good. I just don't think he'll be great.
Okay, by the way, check out this run of picks on Fantasy Football Calculator last year, starting in the with the third pick of the sixth round. Stephon Diggs, Darren Waller, Deshaun Watson. Actually, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, DeAndre Swift, Diggs, Waller, Watson. That was pretty funny right there. Chris, what do you think about this overall?
For Golladay?
Yeah.
I think he'll be the number one, but this is going to be an offense that probably spreads the ball around. It's all dependent on whether Daniel Jones can take a leap, you know, kind of the first step, I think, towards being a good NFL quarterback. And Golladay should help him, but my expectation for Golladay isn't much different than what he was in Detroit, except, you know, touchdowns, it's going to be somewhere between 2018 and 2019, 5 and 11. I'd be, you know, I definitely wouldn't project him to lead the NFL in touchdowns like he did in 2019.
I'll give you guys a couple of stats that I gave out on the bonus pod we recorded early Sunday. One, I think, could encourage you about Galladay. One, not so much. So everybody thinks this is a downgrade in offense. 2 years ago, Kenny Galladay was a top 10 wide receiver. He had about 1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns, third in non-PPR, ninth in PPR. That year, the Giants and the Lions scored the exact same amount of points. And that was a Daniel Jones-led team. It was his rookie season. He did just as well as the Lions did that year. Now, that was only 8 games of Matthew Stafford, but those are the full season numbers for Galladay on a team that scored as many points as the Giants did just 2 years ago. Last year, both teams had a bad offense. The Giants were 31st in scoring, but it was only 2 years ago when they were as good as the Lions. And he was a top 10 wide receiver. That's encouraging.
What I would point out is I think that Lions team had 54 more pass attempts and 16 more pass touchdowns.
Well, the Giants threw the ball a pretty decent amount that year. But that was 2 years ago. Now, Daniel Jones threw.
Yeah, to last year. That's what I mean. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, last year, the Giants defense was really good and they ran the ball a ton and they couldn't throw. Daniel Jones, this is a bad stat here. He threw 11 touchdowns last year in 14 games. He threw 24 touchdowns in 2019. 13 of them came in 3 games against easy competition, Jets, Lions, Washington. So in his career, aside from 3 great games, he has 22 touchdown passes in 25 starts.
Well, what about the Tampa Bay game?
He only threw 2 touchdowns.
I think he had 2 touchdowns.
He had 2 rushing touchdowns.
He ran for a couple.
Yeah, he had 2 rushing touchdowns.
But after that game, man, a lot of people thought that was the beginning of a big run for him.
Yeah. Well, how much faith do you guys have in Daniel Jones? On a scale of 0 to 10 on the faithometer, where you at?
Like a 5. Straight up dead down the middle. I think if he had a good offensive line and you can throw Kyle Rudolph in there to protect him, I think if he had time to throw, he can make dime throws. We saw that at times last year, the year before that. I don't think he'll Trubisky it. If he's got time, he can make a good throw. And he can, I don't know if he can necessarily throw Kenny Galladay open, but he can throw him a pass that he can win on a contested catch. And I think the targets will be there to a decent degree, not necessarily over the top. I'd be surprised if he had 125 targets, 130 targets. But to me, the key is the offensive line first. Because if they can protect Daniel Jones, then he's not fumbling the ball all over the place when he gets hit. He can take a little half second extra to throw and be accurate. I think he'd have a fighting chance then, but I don't know if that offensive line can come through.
Yeah, do we think the offensive line
come through?
Do we think the offensive line's better?
I think it is a chance to be better because it's young.
How do you get worse?
If you get coached up, then maybe they'll have a chance to do a little bit of a better job. But that's step one. And then Jones is step two. And then if it all works out, and if the defense isn't playing well, or if they're in a bunch of high scoring games, then Galladay could, you know, hit the jackpot and have a big year statistically. But I'm thinking it's not going to happen.
You could line up this team's skill players with most teams if they're right. I mean, Galladay has shown you that he could be a dominant receiver. Shepard's a great possession receiver. Slayton could be a good outside threat. Obviously, Barkley's shown you he could be one of the best running backs in football. Ingram, when he's catching the ball, has shown you he could be a great tight end. If Jones is right, there's going to be a lot of points scored on this team. But he has to show you that. He has to show you that for more than just a couple games. And so, you know, is Jason Garrett the guy to make that happen? We'll find out. But, you know, as Dave said, the offensive line's got to, you know, hold up and hold up its end of the bargain. I think it could be a fun team, but you know, you got to let it play itself out first. So it's going to be a very interesting process. I like Daniel Jones going into last year. You know, I thought the ceiling games that he showed you, you know, you hope that those would be a little bit more consistent, maybe not as high, but obviously with a higher floor. And he just didn't deliver those.
So, I feel like he had like 4 30-point games in 2019, something like that.
I think
that.
It was 3. But
he
yeah,
was there, so there were so all or nothing. Yeah,
there were big moments, and you know, again, for a young quarterback, you hoped, okay, is he going to take the next step? And he took a huge step backwards. You know, so hopefully there is still a lot to like. And look, for Daniel Jones, I know this isn't really about him, but what he does on the ground, you know, these are the type of quarterbacks that we look for. You know, so he can, you know, be one of these guys that we're talking about midseason that Why didn't I take a late round pick on Daniel Jones? You know, why didn't I invest a little bit more in him? I certainly wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. But again, he's got to prove it to you.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, we talked about this. Sorry, I don't want to be repetitive from the bonus pod, but that's why I like doing these, because we have so many analysts. We get to hear all these viewpoints. Galladay, it seems like the only player that could benefit from this is Daniel Jones. I mean, it can't be good for Shepard. It can't be good for Ingram, not to mention they signed Kyle Rudolph. I don't see anyone drafting Darius Slayton. It's probably not going to affect Saquon Barkley, unless you guys disagree with that, jump in. But Jones is really the only one that could really benefit from this.
This helps Barkley, because now, you know, there's threats. I mean, you know, if they start to move the ball through the air and they start to show some consistency, you know, Saquon, his rookie season was, I think I remember writing this, like most runs against stack boxes since next gen stats had been keeping that, and most success against 8-man boxes. You know, he was just so good as a rookie. But there's just, you know, you have to now worry about this receiving core. You have to worry about the threats. The Rudolph signing was weird from his standpoint, because unless they're going to take Ingram off the field, he said the reason he didn't want to stay in Minnesota was he wanted more passing opportunities.
Yeah.
So I don't understand this, you know, going to a team that has now all these weapons and a pass catching tight end. It's not like Ingram's going to stay in a block. Rudolph's the better blocker by far.
Well, Dave said
it could cost Ingram playing time, though.
Dave moved.
I'm sure
Ingram,
the coaches have to be sick of what Ingram gave them last year.
Yeah.
Galladay can do a lot of what Ingram can
do. Yeah, but they should have just, you know, hey, let's draft Kyle Pitts and move on that way.
It's just so weird to pay him like an average of $7 million a year, if he up to that anyway, for Kyle, for a number two tight end, what are the Patriots? But Dave, you move Ingram out of your top 12, right?
Yes. He is outside of my top 12. I can't view him as a startable fantasy tight end to begin the season. You want to draft him late and put him on your bench if you get the opportunity. Yeah, sure. Maybe he's got a shot, but he led the team in targets last year. Had just over 100, I want to say 109 targets, something like that. There's no way he's getting there this year if Galladay plays 16 games.
Jamie, you have him 17th. Is that updated?
That's not updated, but that was before the signing, so I wasn't in on Evan Ingram to begin with.
Okay, Chris, what about you, Evan Ingram?
Haven't updated it yet. I had him 15th before the signing, so can't imagine he's going to be any higher than that.
Yeah, it's hard to get excited about him. It's impossible to be excited about Darius Slayton. Shepard is only usable as a bench receiver in PPR, because I think he can get you the 5 for 50 with a couple of touchdowns every now and then. Saquon's going to do his thing. Galladay is a top 20 to 25 fantasy receiver. I like him better in non-PPR than PPR. And Daniel Jones is a sleeper. Saquon Barkley's a stud.
Kenny Galladay or Juju?
Oh, Galladay for sure.
Juju for me, PPR. Galladay, non-PPR.
It's Galladay for sure and non-PPR, but I think in PPR, I think I have Galladay higher, but it's not by a lot.
Okay, how about a guy we never talk about, Tyler Boyd or Kenny Galladay?
Galladay and non.
I'll take Galladay in both.
I think I'll take Galladay. Let me see. I can pull it up.
I have Galladay a couple spots higher in PPR and a lot higher in non.
How about Brandon Cooks?
Yeah, they're pretty far apart in mine. 10 spots apart between Galladay and Boyd.
I'll take Cooks.
Brandon Cooks in both.
Cooks.
I've got Galladay higher.
Okay. Well, let's take a break. More to talk about when we come back, including Philip Lindsay going to Houston, what this means for David Johnson.
Ugh.
We don't have to talk much about that.
I think it's time to really probably just start talking a little bit about Deshaun Watson. It's tough to know what to say there, but you know, it's something. And Breshad Perriman, a lot to say about him. Keelan Cole to the Jared Cook. I don't think we talked about Jared Cook much, so that's coming
up. Wow, you are really going to keep people glued to the podcast with
emails.
Those names.
We have emails. We have that.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
And stick around for the emails, folks.
We'll be back.
Stick around for Jared Cook talk.
After this advertisement.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account. Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Jared Cook time. Is there anything else? Well, how about the Philip Lindsay signing? David Johnson.
Why?
David Johnson had a really good year.
Hey.
He's a running back. He's looking for a job. A team offered him a job. Yeah,
I'm sure other teams are going to offer him a job. Why go to a team that's a sinking ship where there's two other running backs there?
Money, 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 money.
Oh, he got so much money.
Well, he got something. Was he going to get that from anywhere else? I guess not.
Maybe not.
The Texans.
If that's his only option, then kudos to him for taking the only job that was available to him. But, I mean, I can't imagine that was his only job offer.
The Texans called up the really Raiders. Weird.
He wasn't in the league 5 years ago.
The Texans have signed so many players to 1 year deals, and it's just they're
in cap
terrible.
Hell.
They're in cap hell, and
they're in hell. Take the word cap out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, how much does he eat into David Johnson's production? Johnson, so he got hurt really early in one game. If you remove that. He was on pace for 1,400 yards at 10 touchdowns and 48 catches. The catches are a little deceiving. So a third of them came in one game. But that was without Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson's not there anymore.
But the problem is they're going to trade Deshaun Watson, and then they're going to have a bad quarterback situation. You have David Johnson, who's still the best running back on the team. You have the second running back who they signed already in Mark Ingram, who has a relationship with the head coach from the previous stop that they were just at in Baltimore. And now you have Lindsay coming into a team that's going to have a bad quarterback situation, a bad team that's not going to score points. They're going to be chasing points all the time. He's not going to score a lot of touchdowns. This is just a terrible situation all around.
Jeff Wilson or David Johnson?
Wilson.
I'll take Wilson.
I'll take Mostert and Wilson over Johnson.
Well, actually, you know what? There's an angle to this that I probably should have considered more. Right now,
I will say this, though. If Deshaun Watson stays, I'll take David Johnson over those guys. Yeah. But I don't see Deshaun Watson staying.
And we don't even know if he's going to be playing. Obviously, we have to see how this situation plays out. David Johnson, Melvin Gordon's got to be ahead of David Johnson now for sure. Yes.
At this point, yeah.
To see what they do
He was
there.
For me all along.
Yeah.
How about Kareem Hunt or David Johnson?
Kareem Hunt.
Kareem the Dream.
Yep.
Okay.
Johnson's going to be one of those running backs that you'll say, okay, fine, I'll draft him to be my RB2 because I went in a bunch of different directions earlier in the draft. And then you'll feel good about not
RB2?
Drafting Philip Lindsay or Mark Ingram.
Yeah, like, so you're saying I loaded up somewhere.
I wouldn't love to have him as an RB2, but you load up at tight end and quarterback and receiver and maybe took one running back with your first four or five picks and Johnson's sitting there. Okay, fine. He's a warm body that'll get touches.
Okay. Yeah, so we got to see what happens. I mean, there's still some situations where we'll see if they bring in running backs. Miami, Pittsburgh, New England, and we'll see where David Johnson ends up in relation to those teams. And then not that much more news we really needed to get to. I don't know if you guys all had a chance to weigh in on Juju. Jamie, were you on that Juju show? You were not, right?
No.
Did you like it? Juju back to Pittsburgh?
I mean, I think we covered this already, but I don't hate it. I don't love it. I think it is what it is. You know, the only thing I really hate about it is it caps the upside clearly for Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson. Those guys could have had potential monster seasons if it was James Washington as their third receiver or whoever else they would have, you know, put in that spot. Deontay moving into the slot would have been amazing. Just because of his target opportunities, not that they were bad last year, but they would have been better. So you know, it doesn't help those guys by any stretch. But I think Juju, again, 97-9, what he can do in the middle with the yardage will kind of determine how he does.
Andy Dalton says that the Bears told him that he will be the starter. The Lions signed Breshad Perriman, and then they have Perriman and Tyrell Williams. And look, somebody's going to draft these players. So who do you prefer at Detroit's starting wide receiver right now? Would you go with Perriman or Tyrell?
Perriman.
Okay. Carolina signed David Moore. The Jets signed Keelan Cole. Does that give you...
David Moore is interesting just because there's target opportunities there.
But I don't think he's draftable.
No. But we're talking, you know, deep, deep leagues. If he's available in your dynasty league and you have deep rosters, I'd take a chance on him to see what happens.
Keelan Cole, $5.5 million. That's not nothing here. Does that tell you anything about Jamison Crowder?
It might.
It's a lot of money they have invested in those two guys.
Which two?
Crowder and Cole.
But they can get away from Crowder's contract. So that might be a move that comes up soon, and they think Cole is the replacement for him.
There was actually a decent amount of tight end news. Giants signed Kyle Rudolph, 2 years. Chargers signed Jared Cook, 1 year, $6 million. Houston released Darren Fells. Carolina signed Dan Arnold. Jets signed Tyler Kroft. So, Chris, do you have any hope for Jared Cook at this point?
I mean, he could default to being a number one tight end, but I certainly wouldn't want him to be that guy on my team. That team didn't quite throw as much to Hunter Henry as we hoped they would last season. I don't think they're going to throw a bunch to Jared Cook.
I thought, was he not second on the team in targets? I mean, that may have been a game split. I think he was Hunter Henry.
He might have been second on the team in targets, but it was like 90, I think.
90, 95, yeah, somewhere around there.
See, Jared Cook is one of the smartest players after being stuck with Jeff Fisher for that time. He went to play with Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Justin Herbert. That's how you
feel about Derek Carr. Derek Carr is where he broke out.
Yeah. Derek Carr loves throwing his tight end.
Derek Carr as well.
Okay. Evan Ingram or Jared Cook?
Cook.
I like Cook, especially if he's got a decent week one matchup. Put him against the Raiders in week one. Put him against the Chiefs in week one. That'll be a high scoring game. That'll be some opportunities for him.
Okay, offensive line news. The 49ers signed center Alex Mack to a 3-year deal. Seattle.
Yeah, I like that signing. That's a good signing.
Seattle re-signed center Ethan Posick. Cincinnati signed Riley Reiff. Good experienced tackle.
That's a good one, too. Yep.
I read a lot about Riley Reiff when the Vikings released him. He had a good 2020. He had been very up and down. I know he's kind of a name. Wouldn't look at that as a guy who's going to save their offensive line, but it's an upgrade.
Yes.
It's an upgrade for them.
Miami released Isaiah Wilson. This is the guy they acquired from the Titans. Oof, he had an opportunity, didn't show up. Just didn't show up, basically. Kid. Yeah, he's got to get his life in order. And they released him, and he went unclaimed. The Patriots signed their center, David Andrews. We didn't think they were going to get him back, but they signed him and Ted Karras. So some interior line help for the Patriots, plus
that's
going to
end up being a really good offensive line, especially if Trent Brown can stay healthy and Isaiah Wynn. Those tackles stay healthy, that offensive line will be great.
They're going to be boring as hell, but they might make the playoffs, those Patriots.
They might.
And the Jets signed center/guard Dan Feeney. And let me tell you about some teams that are upgrading on defense, man. The Browns could go from having one of the worst secondaries to one of the best. They took two guys off the Rams. They'll get Greedy Williams and Grant Delpit missed last year. They could be loaded in the secondary.
They might not even be the best team that upgraded its secondary.
Who am I missing? Jacksonville. Denver. Oh, Denver, Kyle Fuller. Yeah, what Denver. Else? Giants. The Giants haven't done anything yet.
Well, not yet.
I don't think Adoree Jackson is so special.
He helps.
Let's see. Kyle Fuller to the Broncos.
They gave up nothing for him. Free agent. Don't know what the Bears were thinking.
Money, he's going to be good.
Yeah.
They're clearing space for Russ.
Well, I don't know. Russ who? Not the one in Seattle. But that secondary is going to be good, and they're keeping Von Miller, and Bradley Chubb is still there. That's a top 12 DST to begin the year, which is scary because they're in the same division as the Chiefs and the Chargers.
Yeah. The Vikings, I just want to point out, the Vikings might be pretty good against the run. Last year, Michael Pierce opted out for COVID. He's really good. He signed him from the Ravens, so he missed all of last year. He's back, and they signed Dalvin Tomlinson as a really solid defensive tackle. So they go from being a joke.
Their secondary
is going
to be much better.
And they got Patrick Peterson too. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's another team that's looking really good.
Those young guys, Gladney and I forget the other kid, but both those guys are going to get better with Patrick Peterson. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they've always had good linebackers. That's a defense that's also top 12. And they play Jared.
Oh man, you think so? Top 12 DST, the Vikings?
They gotta make sure either Hunter's back and healthy.
Yeah.
Or address their pass rush. Until that happens, they're not a top 12 DST.
And Jets signed Sheldon Rankins. Jets have been busy, so that could be a nice win for them. 2 years, $17 million. Okay, those are some of the big ones there. Tennessee's added a lot of players too. I think they're gonna be better, but they couldn't get much
worse. Be worse.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Chris Towers, it's baseball season. Tell us about the Fantasy Baseball Draft Kit.
Yeah, CBS Sports Fantasy Baseball Draft Kit. It's got consensus rankings, consensus salary cap values, ADP data, position-by-position breakdowns, position-by-position strategies, draft day strategies, and rules for Scott White, myself, and Frank Stampfl. Some mock drafts, a bunch of stuff going on. So it's quite good, and it's free. Which is I think a pretty good value.
People love free. Dave, I know you don't know anything about this, so I'm gonna.
Oh,
I'm
you
gonna,
mean just in general?
I'm gonna ask you anyway. which team do you like better? Okay, which team do you like better through four picks in a head-to-head points league?
What's a head-to-head points league?
You play in one every year. Freddie Freeman, Anthony Rendon, Trevor Bauer, Zach Gallen. Okay, that's one team.
I don't even know who Zach Gallen is.
Very good.
No
Freeman,
idea.
Rendon. Maybe this is just which team has more players that you know. So Freeman, Rendon, Bauer, and Gallen, or Bogarts, Bryce Harper, Max Scherzer, and Brandon Woodruff. You definitely don't know who Brandon Woodruff is.
I don't know. No, I know who Chris Woodruff is. That dude could truck me.
So what do you think? Bogarts, Harper, Scherzer, Woodruff?
I'm scared to say the one with Bogarts and Harper because I've known those names for a long time.
Mm. Oh, they're still good.
Chris, which team do you like
better? They're way better than the guys on the other team. The guys on the other team stink.
Jamie and I have the 11th pick. Chris has the 12th pick. Jamie and I have Freeman, Rendon, Bauer, and Gallen.
I actually like your group.
I know. Yeah, we got a little lucky with Rendon. He was definitely going to be your pick if we had let him go.
The fun thing is that, so Chris, we text obviously, you know, before our picks or we talk, and the guessing game of what you're going to do is the highlight of our draft right now.
I mean, it's, you know, it's not that hard to guess right now.
Yeah.
Just look at my rankings.
Right. It's so easy.
Well, I mean, like, you know, your rankings are obviously your rankings based in a vacuum, you know, you're building a team. So,
yeah.
Especially, you know, when you went pitcher hitter, your first two picks, you know, so it was, you know,
I know him. I know Chris isn't going pitcher.
No, you should really. I'm going to draft a lot of pitchers in the next like five or six rounds. So definitely, you know, definitely don't draft any good hitters.
You say Zach Gallen or Zach Gowan?
Gallen.
Oh, Zach Gowan is a professional wrestler. So definitely didn't draft him.
G-A-L-L-E-N. My cousin Vinny, anybody? Okay, let's read some emails. Fantasy football at CBS. You got that, Jamie? What?
That might be one of your best jokes.
Thank you. Well, it's for when you cover fantasy baseball, you've covered Joey Gallo. You make that joke quite a bit. All right. Fantasy baseball, fantasy football at CBSI.com. My bad. Fantasy football at CBSI.com. This is from Reed. What are your thoughts on the Saints quarterback situation as it relates to Dynasty? I drafted Taysom Hill last year to back up Breeze. This was before they signed Jameis Winston. Should I try to trade for Winston? Should I propose trading Hill to the Winston manager? Or just sit tight and hope Hill wins the competition? It is a super flex league. I also have Stafford and Cam, so I'm kind of thin at the position.
I think it goes either way. If somebody's going to overpay for Taysom Hill, you absolutely make that trade. And if you can get Jameis Winston cheap, you make that trade as well.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't want to overpay for Winston just to have both, just because even if Winston does win that job, I think what we've learned over the last couple of years is Taysom Hill's still going to have a very annoying role that's going to take away from Jameis Winston.
Just put it this way. Even if Jameis is the starter, Sean Payton was taking a Hall of Fame quarterback off the field for Taysom Hill. What is he going to do when Jameis Winston is
And I think both there? Of them, either of them in this offense could be top 12 quarterbacks. I just...
As standalone, if the other guy was on vacation, yes, yeah. I agree with you 100%.
But I just, yeah, I wouldn't want to overpay either way.
But wait, if Jameis wins the job, then yeah, we can expect Taysom Hill to have a role. But if Taysom Hill wins the job, is Jameis Winston going to have a role?
I mean, Taysom Hill's 32 years old and he's started four games. So I don't think 31. I don't think it's a, I don't think it's a lock that Jameis won't have an opportunity.
Yeah, but he's not going to come in.
But Adam, to your point, that's the scenario you want.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, I do get a little bothered when people bring up Taysom Hill's age because it's not like he's a guy
who's
been in the league that long. He did a mission, I think 2 years at BYU. He kept getting hurt. So, he's not old in terms of football. He's not a veteran who's just bounced around the league.
But he relies on his athleticism.
It does.
Like,
it
almost
does,
entirely.
All right, well,
it does matter for this particular question, though, because it's a dynasty league, so you got to take that into a certain account for that format.
Yeah, I guess just my point is that it's not that he's like a 31-year-old who's been a backup his whole career, and he has been, but he hasn't bounced around the league and been
He wasn't that great in college. It's not, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, fair. This is from Andre in Winchester, Virginia. Hey, Pumpkin, Honey Bunny, Butch, Vincent, and Jules.
Oh, I got it.
One of the greatest movies ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen the whole thing start
what?
To finish. I know, it's on the list.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I've definitely seen it. It's Pulp Fiction, right?
Yes.
The more I've watched Tarantino movies, the less I like them, but...
That's by itself. You could say whoever directed it, it's fantastic.
A ringing endorsement for Quentin Tarantino movies.
Well, I used to love them, but they're just a little much,
Not that one.
And I was watching Inglorious Bastards the other day, and it's still amazing.
That's his best one. That movie's.
I love that one.
Love that movie.
I mean, Pulp Fiction resurrected John Travolta.
Yeah, Inglorious Bastards. Inglorious Bastards was definitely the best one.
All right, here's the question. I can keep Dalvin Cook for a first-round pick or Derrick Henry for a second-round pick. I can't decide. I don't have to decide until draft day, and I can't decide until draft day would be different. I could potentially have an early enough pick to keep Henry and draft Cook if those ahead of me kept their first-round picks from last year. So what would you do, Henry in the second or Cook in the first?
But you wouldn't know if the other guys are keeping who they're keeping until after you have to make your decision. Presumably.
Yeah, sometimes people know.
He's going to know his draft position before he has to make this decision.
What's the format?
Doesn't say.
Because I think that matters.
Yeah.
I also think age might matter a little bit here.
I don't know that it's a dynasty question.
That's true.
I think it's just a keeper for next year.
I'm probably going Henry in round two.
Right. I mean, that's just makes a little more sense to take the value.
Yeah, I think if it's non-PPR, that makes it an even easier call on Henry.
Yes,
but
it
if
does.
if it's PPR, I still think I take the value.
And it's they're like I guess about a year apart. I don't know exactly when their birthdays are.
And let's face it. If you're looking in the bag, the wallet that says badass MF-er is definitely Derrick Henry and not Dalvin Cook.
Is that a Pulp Fiction joke?
Yeah, but there's no ass in that line.
Oh,
yeah, bad MF-er.
I actually have I used to have a Pulp Fiction poster in my bedroom.
Wow. Wait, oh, my God.
I know.
Of course.
At least I watched it.
Well, no, my sister bought it for me.
Adam is absolutely the guy who wears the band's t-shirt to a concert.
No. First of all, I get on Jamie all the time for using GIFs of The Office when he doesn't watch The Office. So it's very unlike me to do something like that. But I did have my sister bought me a bunch of wall stuff from Target, and that was just happened to be one of them. It was cool. Go to sleep every night with people pointing a gun at you. It was really unsettling. All right, from Reed. Grade the trade. I would be trading Adam Trautman and Deontay Johnson for TJ Hockenson in Dynasty. Trautman and Deontay for Hockenson.
I think I like the Hockenson side better because I think he's got a chance to be a steady fantasy tight end with a chance to be a very good fantasy tight end. I'm a Trautman fan too. I just wonder, is it really going to be this good for Deontay Johnson year after year after year?
I mean, the thing with him is like there are times when Ben Roethlisberger just like has eyes for nobody else. He'll go through like there'll be like
That's
two or three drives every game where he just consistently hits him 5-6 times.
Well, throws at him. He drops one.
Right, throws.
And, well, he hits him.
You know, if he cuts his drop rate in half, you know, you're talking about probably 90 catches, 1,100 yards. I think there is a lot of potential given his role in that offense. And on the other hand, we don't know who his quarterback's going to be in 2022, and that matters.
I was going to say, all three of these guys have quarterback changes coming at some point in the near future, because Jared Goff is not the long-term answer in Detroit, unless he's great, which he could be. The Saints are going to get a new quarterback at some point, and clearly the Steelers are going to get a new quarterback at some point. They could all get upgrades. They could all get downgrades. So just, I don't think that really matters in this case. I think
Goff, it does cut, like, he's unlikely to be cut until 2023, right, based on the cap numbers?
Maybe.
Well, I think as we've seen, as the trade told you, you can move on from guys and deal with the situation. And thankfully, we appreciate the NFL's new TV deal, so money should be a little better for everybody.
Yeah.
I would probably – this is a Dynasty team?
Yeah,
Dynasty.
Deontay Johnson – and Adam Trautman for Hawkinson. Which side would you rather have?
But it's Dynasty League, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think the question becomes, if your team is set to win now, I'd rather have Hawkinson. For sure.
Okay.
They can get away from Goff's deal next year. Cap will go up. They'll save $10 million.
I think I would stick with the Deontay side. And part of that is just, tight ends do tend to peak earlier and have shorter peaks than wide receivers. The peak age historically for tight ends has been right around 25, 26. For wide receivers, it's 27, 28. Obviously, there are some examples of tight ends, you know, really beating that, but that's only for the really elite ones.
Right. You're only making this trade if you're counting on Hawkinson to potentially get to that group, which he could.
Yeah.
Okay. And speaking of contracts, this is kind of underrated news, or underrated is not the right word, but they restructured Matt Ryan's contract in such a way that he is probably, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's going to spend the next 2 years there, or there's going to be a serious cap hit. So for Dynasty Leagues, the restructuring of Matt Ryan's contract pretty much likely ties him, nothing's set in stone, to the team for at least the next 2 seasons. So yes, just something to keep in mind there.
He's got a $65 million dead money hit if he's somehow cut this year, and a $40 million dead money hit if he's somehow cut in 2022.
Yeah, I still think, though, you're going to see them in the draft address the position.
This year?
Potentially.
First round?
May not be top 10, but...
It's funny. It's like there are going to be so many quarterbacks that go in the top 10, and then how do you address the position without investing a first or second round pick? It's so... Position gets overdrafted so severely.
Well, I think, you know, I can't tell you certainly how far the Stanford kids are going to go, you know, Mom's going to go, Kyle Trask is going to go, you know, those type of guys. But, you know, you can take a chance on one of them and hope that they become something.
Yeah, of course. I know Emory Hunt likes Jalen Newman out of Wake Forest as well. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you on Tuesday. Have a great Monday. Outros are awesome. Bye.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast, and I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.